If you love him, sing like you love him. Yes, I really love the Lord. Oh, and you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
And that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches. Oh, God is so good. Me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know what it's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me the
victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him.
I really love the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly, truly our honored guest, and we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We hope that you come back and be with us again. If you're watching by way of television, thank you on this Lord's Day, also called Mother's Day. Thank you for tuning in. We hope that we can say something to you today that will touch your heart. More than that, if you're not a Christian, that will make you ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And we just love Sunday mornings. Love the Lord's Day. You had a rough week this past week. Guess what? It's over. This is the first day of the week, and you might well let it go because you can't get it back anyway. And just let it go, and hopefully you came here today to worship our great God in heaven. I've entitled my lesson this morning, Mary, Mary, Mary. I know you might think that's an unusual title. Sometimes I am unusual. The name Mary means wise woman, wise lady. The Greek form, Mary is actually the Greek form of the Hebrew name Miriam, M-I-R-I-A-M. Mary is the most popular American name in the United States. And you probably know why, because Mary was the name of the Savior, the mother who bore the Savior, the human Savior. But those of you that know your Bible, you know Jesus was here before Jesus was born. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Notice this, the Word was God. You drop down to verse 14, it says, he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was already existing before the physical Jesus was born. But sweet Mary and Elizabeth, when Mary went to see her cousin, Elizabeth said, blessed are you among women. Because she had Jesus in her womb. And according to Eldon Smith, he wrote a book of classic research on surnames. He says that the name Mary is here's the list in America of women. I'm sure there are probably some Marys in here right now. And the name John for men. There are probably some Johns in here right now. Even Mary has, it's the only, just about the only feminine name that has these masculine pronunciations also. Mario comes from the Mary, Marion, Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N. And there are even some men that are called Maria, variations of Mary, Maria, Maria, Miriam. The name Mary is mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, actually 51 times, but there are 6 different Marys in the New Testament. I'm getting to my lesson this morning. Mary, the mother of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, chapter 2. Mary Magdalene, underline Mary Magdalene. Mary of Bethany, Mary the disciple, the mother of James and John in Matthew 27. Mary the mother of John Mark in Acts 12. Mary of Rome in Romans chapter 16. But I want to focus this morning on Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Magdalene was the place that she was from. Magdala, not far from Capernaum, very familiar city. As Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth, you know, in Jesus' day there were many men surnamed Jesus. So in the Bible it says Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus son of David. So we know it's the Jesus. Mary Magdalene, because there are other Marys, and Mary Magdalene did have stand out for. Matter of fact, just about every time you read of Mary Magdalene, it says Mary Magdalene, and 8 times she's in a group of women, and every time her name is first on the list. Wish I had time to read them all. That's your homework. Read it on your own. Magdala means tower, castle. In the time of Christ, Magdala was a thriving city. It was a thriving city, but this Mary Magdalene, she wasn't always a saint. Amen. Any sinners come in here this morning? Yeah, Brother Ron, thank you for your prayer this morning. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Sweet Isle Prayer. Vincent, thank you for your singing this morning. Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes you come to church and you have a different emotion. You know, sometimes you hear a song and it brings you closer to God. Somebody need prayer this morning. Yeah. Somebody needs special prayer. If things are going good, say praise the Lord. Yeah. Scriptures say Mary Magdalene was possessed with 7 demons. That's what it says. Listen to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another. That he is Jesus. Don't make any mistake about that. He's in his prime mode. He's about his mission, and he's on point, and he's so focused, and he is preaching, and he's going from city to city, not traveling by Lincoln Continental, but he was going from city to city, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. I know it's Mother's Day today. But it's the Lord's Day first. Amen. And Jesus proclaimed the king. That was his message. Notice. And this was Jesus' message every city he went to. Because he knew that this would be the key This would be what people need most, to know how to get in the kingdom and know how to act in the kingdom. Said the 12 were with him. That's his 12 apostles. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. They were with Jesus. They were following Jesus, and they were with the group. Mary, who was called Magdalene, underline that, from whom seven demons had gone out. Now, the scriptures doesn't say what the demons were, but it says seven. It uses this complete number the Bible uses as 7 days, and it's a complete number. Jesus, God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. Why did he rest? Because he was through creating it. And so we know that it was 70. Notice, Jesus also healed these other women, and some of them had evil spirits. Now, most scholars, I was reading and trying to get closer to what these demons may have been. Most of them think that it was some kind of a mental disorder that made her possessed and have a different personality. She may have been wide-eyed and nervousness and mental instability. But yet, you know from studying her that she was fully aware that she was sick. You know, have you ever had something and you know, you see people sometimes they're walking around in disarray and you say you don't know if they know what's going on or not. But Mary was possessed, but she knew she was possessed. Yeah. Yeah, just like us. Or shall I say some of us in here today, this morning. We know we got some issues. We know we have problems. And we know we need some help, but we can't help ourselves. Lord have mercy. Boy, that's a tough way to be. And Mary, Lord have mercy, she had seven. Now, these other ladies had, some of them had evil spirits, but we know Mary's was the worst because she had seven of them. Yeah. Mm. Now, Mary was not a prostitute. Now, I know sometimes some folks have associated Mary with prostitution because they think that she's the woman with the alabaster box who anointed Jesus' his head with her hand, wiped Jesus' feet with her hair in Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. This woman was a sinner, the Bible says. It doesn't say who she was, doesn't say her name, but there were others, Joanna and Susanna, who we just read a few minutes, and they had illnesses, but Jesus called the demons out of her. Notice, he called the demons out and her sanity returned. Peace returned. Joy returned. And Mary would become one of Jesus' most devoted followers. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And I got a question that I have to ask. What are you possessed with? I know some of us say, I know, Brooke Gary, I know I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you this morning. Brooke Gary, I'm a Christian. Yeah, we're still talking about you this morning. Mary was possessed. She knew she was sick. She needed some help. And she couldn't help herself. And Jesus healed her. Now, if Jesus healed you, would you be grateful? I'm going to ask the question again. If Jesus healed you, would you be grateful? Mary became the most devoted follower. One of the most devoted. Now, this devotion follows deliverance. It follows the deliverance. Now, maybe she'd heard about Jesus. Maybe she, in her demon-possessed mind, she might have heard Jesus speak, but still couldn't serve him then because she was too possessed. One thing I'm learning in my ministry, that there are people in the world that you can't teach and can't preach to until you help them. Don't misinterpret it. Don't misunderstand me. There are some folk who are sick and hurting in this world. And if you think you're going to sit down in a Bible class with them and don't address their needs, you got another thing coming. And Jesus shows us this. Now, I know we don't, out of Gregory can't lay hands on anybody. And please don't call me, don't knock on my door. I can pray for you. Yes, we can pray all day for you. But we as the church, we need to understand as we are ministering to sick folk, to people who need help, we have to address their needs. Notice this, if we really want to help. That's what stops a whole lot of folk from helping. I can't help. I don't know what to do, and I can't handle that. I understand what you're saying, but Jesus helped this woman, and she never, ever, never forgot it. Listen to Luke chapter 44, chapter 7, verse 44. She wasn't the only person that Jesus helped. Turning toward the woman, verse 44, Luke 7, 44, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss." Somebody said, "Ooh, Lord, that's nasty. Ooh, I don't know where she's going to wipe Jesus' feet because you haven't been here. Or you don't realize that you've been here." See, there's some folk who say what they won't do. But this lady, when you're sick and somebody help you, you listen to what it says. It says, You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, notice, in order to kiss somebody's feet, you got to be down there where the feet are. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. In order to wipe somebody's feet, that's way beyond many of us. Oh, no, not that kind of stuff. I don't do that. Oh, either you haven't been hurt enough or you haven't been helped enough. See, I almost entitled this lesson True Devotion. True Devotion. I think Earth, Wind, and Fire sang a song like that. Anybody in that day? Oh, you remember it too, huh? I'm not talking about that kind of devotion. I'm talking about this kind of devotion. Notice this. "You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume." She spent serious money and anointed my feet. "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many." Anybody in here? I just got to ask this question this morning. Anybody got some sins? One young man, he said, "But Gary, you talk about sin a lot." I say, "I know, because there's a lot of it around." When we recognize we have sin, it should keep us humble. Amen. Yeah, I know, Gabriel, there are a lot of lost people out in the world. They need the gospel. Yes, you're right. But there are folk in the church that have a lot of sins. And they still not humble. Amen. I wish I almost want to stay there for a little while. There's folks in the church who have sins and they high-minded and they haughty, and they need to come down off their high horse. Who are you talking about, Brother Gary? I don't know. I bet you talking about me. Well, only the person that's guilty would get mad at that statement. Because I say it all the time. One sister, you don't need, but yeah, don't tell the church that you sin, because you the preaching. We don't want to. I say, now, I'm going to tell you, I will tell you this. Since I've been a Christian, I know I'm not sinless. But I do sin less. And I'm trying to sin less and less. Because see, you know, I don't want you to put me up on a high horse. Because you know what happened when you get up there high? You know what happened? You know what happened. So But we look for, listen, you need to stay humble when you're trying to serve God. This woman who Jesus, he helped Mary Magdalene, let me finish this. I won't have time to finish my lesson. He says, let me go back to the verse. Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Notice. Tell you why her sins were forgiven. For she loved much. Anybody gonna need some mercy when they meet God? I just see. If God been getting good to you, see, really, that's everybody. If you here right now, God is good. Yes. I got some issues. If you here, you, that's things. You look at TV, people minding their business and get shot up. Yes. Blew up. Amen. You know, have a wreck. You know, some of us, you know, there are individuals in here right now who have cancer, who are going to radiation. But I got issues. You going to radiation all the week? Be thankful for what God has done for you. Stop complaining and whining. And see, as long as I can hear a word from God, and he give me time to say, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins that I've committed. And because a Christian had, God will wash all my sins away. If I come to him with godly sorrow, and if I die right with God, everything. Oh, just you think your biggest problem is you don't have enough money to pay your bills in a couple of weeks? You think that's your biggest problem? Lord, your biggest problem if you die in your sins, that's your biggest problem. What are you saying, Brother Gary? True devotion is worth it. It is. The brother read in here in a few moments ago, Matthew 19, verse 27. Then Peter said to him, behold, Peter is one of the apostles. This is getting close to the end of the ministry. And Peter is getting anxious. Behold, we've left everything and followed you, Lord. And the same can be said. You know, we're not in the first century. Many of in here have been Christians for a long time. And sometimes we think we have seniority because we've been Christians for 40. Oh, I've been in the church 75 years. We're laughing, but that is commendable. If you've been in the church for 50 plus years, somebody ought to say praise the Lord. No, if you hadn't been here, we wouldn't be here. And so it is commendable, but there's no seniority for it. Yeah, no, they don't. Yeah, I know some churches write your name on the side of a pew. We don't do that here. The elders, no. They don't do that. We don't do that here because there's no respect of person. That's why I say God is so wonderful. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Somebody walked in here today, never heard of the Church of Christ, and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to extend the invitation in just a few minutes, that you can come and be baptized into Jesus Christ. You've never heard of the Church of Christ. Now, if you read your Bible, you would have, because this is in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that there's only one church that's mentioned in the Bible. Isn't that right, church?
Right.
Now, I know this is a biased audience, but that is the truth. I could ask any denominational, if he's a scholarly preacher, and if I ask him in the Bible, can you find, I'm not going to call any other churches names, but can you find, is there more than one church in the Bible in the New Testament? And if they're honest, and if they're honest, they're going to tell you, no. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body, there's one spirit, even as you're called in one hope. Now, how many is that? That's anybody. That's elementary. One hope of your call. He says there's one Lord. God made this simple. That's one faith system whereby we must be saved. What do you mean, one faith system? There's one way that you come to God. You come to God on his terms. But Brother Gary, there's thousands of churches. I know, but there's one in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so when we extend the invitation, we extended the invitation the way the apostles did, because we want to be in that one church that's in the Bible, because when Jesus comes, he's coming back for his church. He says judgment must begin with the household of God. That's what it says. Yeah. And so Peter was getting antsy. He said, we left everything and followed you. Yeah. He says, what then will there be for us? Nobody says, well, ain't that mighty selfish of him? You haven't ever asked that question yourself? Lord, I've been serving you for a long time. And you don't want to know what's in it for us? I do. As a matter of fact, I already know, because I've studied it. But Peter asked the question, Lord, is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to have left everything to follow you? Is it worth it? And he asked that question. It may sound like a selfish question, but anytime somebody requires all of this dedication, and see, some of you, you're giving all your energy, your emotions, your intellect to your job. Ask the boss Monday when you go to work tomorrow, see if you can get an appointment, first of all, with the boss, because you probably can't. But if you do, ask the boss, especially if you've been there a while, I was just wondering, I know I get a paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, but what happens when I'm through here? You know, some people, how many of you, anybody in here ever retired, been on a job for 30 plus years? Raise your hand, 30 plus years. My goodness, 30 plus years, that's a long time. Now, brother, I saw Brother Brown raise his hand. Brother Brown, one of our elders back there on the wall. Brother Brown, you retired. Brother Brown retired. Did they throw you a big party, Brother Brown? You didn't want one. I know that's right. You ready to get out of there, wasn't you? But Peter asked the question, is it worth it? Young people, is it worth it for you as teenagers, young folk? Is it worth it for me to come to church and try to do right and try not to curse when everybody else is cursing and try not to have sex while everybody else is having sex? Is it worth it for me to give up all this stuff? I love it when scriptures say, and Jesus said, that's what it says, the next verse. And Jesus said to them, he says, truly. Now, It's significant. Lord have mercy. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Because I read the Bible. I read verses in the Bible, and I didn't get the full meaning of them. I didn't know what I was reading. And you know, you start studying a little deeper. See, when Jesus uses the term truly, it's not like when you tell somebody, I'll be there, I promise, or I'll take care of you. When we say that, even when we have good motives, we hope that we can deliver on what we say. But you don't know if you can deliver on what you said, because first of all, you don't even know if you're going to be here. You don't know all the circumstances. You don't know that a car might be in a wreck when you leave out of here today because somebody will sideswipe you. You don't know if your mother gonna die, your brother's gonna die, you're gonna fall off a ladder, anything might happen to you, and you don't know even when you mean well. But when Jesus says truly, Jesus was the one who said, let there be light. And there was, if Jesus says it, it already happened. Just because, how many of you, if we turn out the lights in here, you say, let there be light, what would happen? Nothing. Jesus walks on water, because the water is nothing to Jesus. And Jesus, see, you know, I know a lot of folk talking. We listen to a whole lot of different folks. And some folk sound good. Some folks they have good reputation, but don't you bank your life on no, your soul on nobody but Jesus. It says, and Jesus said, truly I say to you that you have followed me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus acknowledges Peter, and he says, you have followed me. Now you know, notice this. If you know anything about Peter, you know Peter wasn't perfect. Some folk call him cussing Peter. Now, at this particular point now, he had not denied Jesus 3 times yet, but guess what? Jesus knew he was going to do that. And notice, Jesus still say, you have followed. Notice, Lord have mercy, God knows our hearts and our intentions. He also knows when we're faking and shaking, too. He knows when we're lying. He knows when we're scheming. He know God knows that. But he said to Peter, you have followed me. Then he says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. That's a whole nother lesson. He said, you know what Jesus said? Business is not over with yet. Something is coming in the future. And he said, now, I'm going to be crucified. He says, they're gonna slay me. But when I'm sitting on my glorious throne, you know, because Jesus died in shame, but he's coming back in glory. Amen. Yeah, they ridiculed him and talked about him and spit on him, but he's going to have his boys with him when he come back. Nobody won't be ridiculing Jesus when he comes back. There won't be any insults. There won't be who you think you are. Oh, King, come off the cross. There won't be any of that. That will be ours. Ah. And fear. When Jesus comes back, you don't have to worry about nobody teasing Jesus. Then it will be a glorious throne, glorious for those who are waiting on him. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. Then he says, you shall sit upon 12 thrones. Now, this was to the apostles. You know, most of the scholars would say that just about all of the apostles would experience excruciating deaths. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were burned at the stake. History will tell us. And he says, but you're going to sit on the 12 thrones of Israel. And now, if you heard that, and you were Peter, would that make you feel, huh? Oh, really? I'm going to be on the throne? Really? It's worth it then. It's worth it. He says, and everyone, now this is our part. You know, see, this, when I'm reading the Bible, when I was reading this, I said, now that's good, Peter, but I won't know about me, but that, Lord. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake. Now, some of us have given up more to follow the Lord. But all of us give up to follow the Lord. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brother Gary? See, you have some in the church are in hard situations in their homes. Some of us, some people come to church without their spouse because their spouse is not a believer. You say, oh, that's tough. You say what you will or may. Don't everybody want to come, you know, I'd say come to church, not just come to church, be a part of the fellowship, be a part of our activities, be a part of prayer. Some mates, they sit down and eat at the table and nobody prays with them. Nobody prays for them in the house. Some people are hostile because they become, somebody's become a member of the Church of Christ. Some people drive long distances because they're coming to spend extra money to be members here at this particular local body. You realize some of our members travel literally over 100 miles just to be here on the Lord's Day and come on Wednesdays. Also, some of you live right up the street. And I'm not saying that's not because we all give up something. What do you mean? Because if you're going to be a Christian, a follower of God, you gonna have to give up some of these worldly things. Amen, somebody? Yeah, now you can listen. If you become a child of God, you need to stop cursing so much. Amen. Yeah, you should have. If you've been one a while, you should have already. Well, Gary, just move on. No. Notice this. Sisters, you can't have a boyfriend and a husband. And get to heaven. That's another lesson. You got to let that go. He said, Peter, you followed me. Okay, why didn't you say you can't have a girlfriend? Because you were thinking it, I know you. I mean, really, seriously, if we're going to follow God, some people have left. And what you have to actually question, self the question, is it worth it for me to hold on to this? Amen. That's what you have to ask. Is it worth it? What's the value in me keeping doing this and not following God? And this is Jesus. This is he gives it to us. He says, when you do it for my sake, when you do it for my name's sake, for not just saying I do it for Jesus, it is to do it for my will and my word. Because let's all agree, some of this stuff hard to give up. Amen. But so whatever it is you're giving up, it has to be worth it. Amen.
Yeah.
We'll receive many times as much. That's what he told Peter. Peter, you followed me. He says, it's going to be worth it, Peter. You're going to receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. I love that. Now, some of us have lived long enough to start understanding. See, when you become a Christian, and, Brookie, I thought you was talking about Mary Magdalene. I am. I'm about to finish with Mary Magdalene. When you become a Christian and you truly devote yourself to God, blessings follow. I'm past the point of playing church, playing Christian, playing, I'm past that point. I am. I got some things I need to work on, but listen, time is too valuable. And see, when you understand that when you become a Christian, see, Brother Tillman Sr., you say this a long time ago. He said, if you're going to serve God, serve him.
Amen.
If you're going to serve the devil, go and dive into hell. I hope I'm not misquoting him. But if you're going to be a devil, I don't know. That's not in the Bible now. But you think about it. See, when you're truly devoted, everything you play is Jesus. When you go to the ball games, keep your Christianity. When you're at the family reunion, don't go get your stash and act like you're crazy just because church people are not around. When you go to work, don't change to another person. And we're talking about true devotion. When you truly follow the Lord, blessings follow on this side, and we get eternal life. Oh, Christian, is there somebody in here that believe that? I believe that being a child of God is the best life. You sleep so good. You don't have to be looking over your shoulder and remember, did I tell that lie yesterday or was it two? Did I tell her the right? I can't remember what I said. We're talking about true devotion. And Mary. Mary was at Jesus' crucifixion. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record Mary Magdalene. All of them. That's unique to any of the other characters, especially the female character. Listen, Mark chapter 15, verse 40, there was also some women looking on from a distance. This is at the cross, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Les and Hoseas and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who came up from Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene, after she was devoted, after she was healed, she followed Jesus. I don't know, Magdalene was known for its textiles and for its fabrics, and I don't know if that was her business, but she obviously had some kind of substance because she ministered, she helped Jesus. The Bible don't say exactly what she did, but I'm just, you know, just use your mind. You know, everybody got to eat, so maybe they fed Jesus. Notice this, you can get to heaven just serve. You can get to heaven just being a help. She supported the gospel. What did she do, brother? I don't know what all she did. She supported those men. She encouraged those men. She made sure they had a way. Matter of fact, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a deacon to go to heaven. Amen. Lord have mercy. Sometimes, Lord, I'm telling you, I wish I could just be a helper. Amen. You don't have to be seen. You can follow. You can do things behind the scene. Yes. And Mary Magdalene's, that's all the Bible says. She was at the cross at a distance. You know where the men were, don't you? The scriptures say they were shut up behind the door. But Mary was there. Why was she there, Brother Gig? Oh, Lord have mercy. Jesus healed of seven demons. Amen. And she watched. You know she cried. And she waited. She stayed there. She saw him suffering. That's my Jesus. She didn't leave. She waited to see where they put his body in the tomb. She and other women, they went and got spices. They couldn't use them right then because it was the Sabbath day coming. But, you know, you can even read through the lines. As Jesus was in that tomb for 2.5 days, as she was counting the moments when the Sabbath day was over. The scriptures say early in the morning. Who came? The men didn't come. The one she helped. And so Mary Magdalene was there early in the morning. She came with her spices thinking that she was going to anoint Jesus' body. And Lord, what did she find? It was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the first to proclaim that I've seen the Lord, the helper. And I want to give somebody some hope this morning because, see, we think we are insignificant. If you know God been good to you, and he has been good to us, even if you're at that point right now today and you need to be saved, I wonder what Mary did the day she was healed. I wonder what she did. Jesus, thank you. You know, we say the term, thank you, Jesus. You think she said, thank you, Jesus? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. As Brother Ron was praying this morning, I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got something they want to thank the Lord about? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because whether you realize it or not, you've been healed. That's what the cross does for us. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he healed all of our demons. Now we have to receive. Now, notice this. Jesus healed Mary Magdalene of these 7 demons. And Mary Magdalene devoted her life to the healer of all healers. And she devoted her life to the end. And the scriptures say nothing. You don't read it, that Mary had a violent death. You don't read how she died, Mary Magdalene, how she died. But I got a question. Do you think Mary made it to heaven? Notice, we're not all in heaven right now. That's another sermon, but we're in that paradise place. You think Mary, the Bible mentions her name over and over again. I just love that in the Bible, that Mary Magdalene was not, she didn't preach a sermon, but she lived a life. Amen. And we like to extend that invitation to someone here today. If you want to be healed, if today is the day that you want to be cleansed. We sing a song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, you might not have those kind of demons that she had, but you got some demons. Yeah, if demons could show up in picture in here right now, and they could just float, and we could see them. You think it'd be a few demons in here? My mind. I like cartoons, you know. And I'm thinking of Casper. And yeah. But nothing but the blood, and the blood of Jesus continues to clean us over. But Gary, how do I get in Jesus Christ? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. If you're here this morning and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is he the Son of God? Yes. Believe it with all of your heart. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. That's what we're doing. We're diligently trying to seek God. If you're here today and you have sins, you have to change your mind about sin. Say, I don't want to sin. But Gary, I can't do it myself. Mary couldn't do it herself. But Jesus can. He can forgive us of all of our sins. You turn from sin and turn to God. If you're here today and you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, Matthew 10:32, Romans 10:9-10, and you confess, you're not ashamed, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, the Lord will add you to the church I mentioned a little bit earlier. His one church. And you can be saved. You can be, that is the most important act that you need to do in your life. If you're here today and you want to be added to the body of Christ, you're here today, you need church to pray for you, please come. If you're here today and you need to get something right in your life, don't wait this one out as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood?